think the last time I was here was beginning of the year, early January. But it's a tremendous privilege for me to share with you this evening. So my name's Dave. I've spent 30 years as a, well, next month I'm going to be celebrating 30 years since my ordination as a Baptist pastor. Spent about 5 years in Ipswich, about five and a half at Blackfield, bit of time at Central Baptist for a while. And then I was at Bidham Park for about 8 years. And a 21-year-old daughter died during that time I was there. So I'm a busted human being, like you, like many of us here tonight. But God hasn't finished with us. And I spent about 5 years part-time working at Tesswood Baptist, developing the work among the over 60s. And then last year started working as a chaplain at Southampton Hospital, where I work 3 days a week. So I bring greetings from the chaplaincy team. There are six of us at Southampton Hospital who are Free Church or Church of England. And then we have a Hindu chaplain and a Muslim chaplain and a Catholic chaplain. And it's a tremendous privilege to share God's word with you tonight. I want to read from Proverbs, from chapter 3, from verse 1 to verse 10. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. So preaching here is always a challenge, because I always get set a text. Can't use something that I've used before. So we have to start from scratch. And what I've been given tonight is Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Planted in truth, straight. Planted in truth, straight. So as I mentioned, I spend 3 days a week as a chaplain at Southampton Hospital. I meet patients at any one time. There can be up to 1,500 patients. We get a little thing coming up on our computer that tells us when the hospital's full, when there aren't any beds. And I know at one point on Thursday, we were at maximum capacity. So we can have 1,500 patients, plus relatives, carers, 11,500 staff, 1,000 volunteers. And we meet all sorts of people with all sorts of conditions and illnesses. We meet mums and dads who've just lost a baby. We meet people who've had operations on their digestive system. We meet people involved in car or bike accidents. And apparently I read last week that Southampton is the most dangerous place in the country to ride a bicycle. More cycle accidents per 1,000 people in Southampton than anywhere else, apparently. And I also see quite a few people who've fallen off ladders and broken bones. So we spend quite a bit of time at the bedsides of patients who are in pain, who are suffering, or maybe patients who are recovering because they've had treatment and they're on the mend. We talk about how the patient is, how they feel physically, how they feel emotionally, how they feel spiritually. Sometimes God comes into the conversation. Sometimes the patients will mention that they're a Christian. Sometimes we'll know that they're a Christian because they're minister. And it could be on the Isle of Wight. It could be on Guernsey or Jersey or another part of the country in addition to being the Southampton area. Has written to us or emailed us or rung us up and said one of our members is in hospital. They're having an operation. They're having treatment. And so sometimes God comes into the conversation. And I'm sometimes struck by the contrast between a human physical body that's normally suffering or in pain, because that's why you're in hospital, because there's something wrong. The physical human body at a time of weakness or pain, and God's. The omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, invisible God. So omnipotent means having unlimited power. Omniscient means knowing everything. And omnipresent means being everywhere at once. And it's funny, because when I was preparing for this, I hadn't really done much in the Proverbs before. I hadn't really preached much from the Proverbs. It's interesting that I was struck by the fact that in some ways, the only way that we can describe God is in the negative. And on the face of it, that seems a bit weird. It seems a bit, well, I don't know. It's, you know, God's fantastic. God's wonderful. So how come the only way that we describe him is negatively? Well, it's because he doesn't have a body like us. He didn't have a beginning like us. We have our birthdays, the date that we were born. He doesn't have an end like us. And you'll see on every grave, normally, the date of birth, the date of death. That person lived from then to then. So this God that we can only describe in the negative, because he doesn't have a body, because he didn't have a beginning, because he doesn't have an end, he's not limited to being in one place at a time like we are. This invisible God that we can't see, it's hard to understand because God is so different from us. And yet, God makes himself known. God makes himself known. I don't know about you, I don't know what your thoughts were when you heard or saw the news on television on Thursday night. I saw the news about the death of PC Andrew Harper, who was killed in his normal day's work as a police officer. And then when I heard he'd only been married 4 weeks, his poor wife, his poor widow, Lycia. Lots of people in this country will know the name, Andrew Harper. We don't know anything about him. We didn't know him. Our hearts go out to his family. And it's funny because there are people that we know something about. I like music. When my daughter's on her way to stay with us tonight from Great Yarmouth in Norfolk, where she lives. And when she was tiny, she wouldn't go to sleep. She was just one of those babies, like her daughter is. She just got a little girl, Mia, 10 weeks old. And when Claire was small, she would never go to sleep. Every parent's nightmare. And then one day we were on holiday, listening to John Peel on the radio, for anybody who's ever heard of John Peel. Dire Straits, Telegraph Road. She was asleep. It's about 10 minutes long, that piece of music. And I became hooked on Dire Straits. Mark Freuder Knopfler, born 12th of August 1949, just celebrated his birthday. He's a British singer, songwriter, guitarist, record producer, film score composer, lead guitarist, lead singer and songwriter for the rock band Dire Straits, which he co-founded with his younger brother David Knopfler in 1977. He recorded 6 studio albums and sold 120 million. He was born in Glasgow, raised in Newcastle upon Tyne, 9 solo albums, wrote music for 9 films. He's toured Europe. He was touring Europe April, July, and just started touring the United States and Canada. I've got most of his music. I know a little bit about him, but I've never met him. I don't know him personally. So how can this invisible God be known? Well, God made himself known in Jesus. In the Gospels, we see the humanity and the divinity. The Christmas story, the baby Jesus. We can all relate to babies. Everybody loves a baby, except for 3 o'clock in the morning when you want to get to sleep. And we see Jesus, the man, crying at the death of his friend Lazarus. Jesus, the man, asks a woman for a drink. Jesus, the man, gets tired, hungry, thirsty, and angry. And we see Jesus the Saviour dying on a cross while being mocked. Come down off the cross if you're the Son of God. And we see the bodily Jesus resurrected after his death and burial. And in the Gospels, we see the divine Jesus raising dead people to life, giving sight to blind people, giving hearing to deaf people. And the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each one is jam-packed with the humanity and the divinity of Jesus and show us something of who he is. We can't take it in. We can understand a little bit about it, but we can't fully take it in. But then God reveals himself. He makes himself known in people's lives. I've often wondered how many millions of people across the ages, when people have hit an absolute pit in their life, have shouted out, God, if you're real, be real to me. And he has. Somehow, this invisible God touches us. It will touch each of us in different ways at different times. And sometimes when we hear the testimonies of people, it's wonderful because it reminds us that this God, who we can't see with our eyes, is still doing things and still revealing himself to people and still changing people's lives. This presence of God that we experience when we were lifting high that powerful name of Jesus. And then God makes himself and then has made himself known in the experiences of wonder. Those times of wonder. In all my pastorates, I've always ended up doing a lot of work in infant schools and junior schools, taking assemblies and doing RE lessons. And I remember at one point looking at the Hampshire RE curriculum, and it was talking about fostering a sense of awe. That wow, that moment when you see something or hear something that makes you just go, wow. Every week we get about 40 or 50 new staff starting at the hospital, and as chaplains we always do a kind of one of us each week, we do a 15-minute slot talking about what we do. And one of the things that we talk about in that is how people find strength, how people find meaning. And there are those things that happen to us in life. Sometimes it's a piece of music that just hits us and brings a lump to our throat and we can hardly speak because it's done something powerful to us. Sometimes we see those things that God has made. Sometimes I go down to Devon. My dad lives in Devon, and there are various places in the country where you go, and it's weird because you look out to sea and there's nothing there. Because if you live anywhere from Swanage to sort of Chichester way, you look out to sea and there's the Isle of Wight. But when you go to Bournemouth and you look on the Needles, you see those big bits of sandstone, whatever it is, standing there. We see those things getting dark earlier in the evening, and sometimes you see all those little white things in the sky, the stars, and you work out how far away they are and how many of them there are, and sometimes you think, this is just beyond understanding. Psalm 19:1-7 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands." God has shown us plenty of things that we can see and hear that remind us of his incredible creative power. My wife and I then go to the Isle of Wight and we take our caravan in a field and we watch the sunset. We see all the colours come up and we hear the buzzards. We walk along the cliff tops and there are all the butterflies fluttering around, all the blackberries. But God also makes himself known in the silence. In the silence. Psalm 62:1 says this, "Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him." Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Sometimes God makes his presence known in the stillness, in the quietness. We often struggle with silence because we're used to living in a noisy world and there's always music and you can't go anywhere where there's nothing, where there's just dead silence. But God makes himself known in the quietness and the stillness. So who wrote the Proverbs? Well, Solomon. King says God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else. And his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. And there's only 800 of those 3,000 proverbs in the book of Proverbs. And it's interesting that Solomon gained wisdom as a gift of God that he asked for in prayer. 1 Kings 3:5 to 15 says, "The Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, 'Ask for whatever you want me to give you.' And Solomon answered, 'You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You've continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?'" So Solomon says to God, "Please, would you give me wisdom?" And God gave it to him in abundance. So what is the book of Proverbs all about? Well, it's written for the young men of Israel who are being trained up for positions of leadership, future leaders. And the Proverbs is concerned with questions of living in God's world from a place of being rooted in religious life and worship. And there's an underlying idea that life is to be lived to the full before God. And in some ways, Proverbs gives suggestions as to how to negotiate this journey. Derek Kidner says you have to be godly to be wise. This is not because godliness pays, but because only wisdom by which you can handle everyday things in conformity with their nature is wisdom by which they were divinely made and ordered. There's a sense in which if God has made the world, then you have to have God in your life to make sense of it. The teaching of Proverbs reflects on what makes for the best in human life and relationships, working on an assumption that this world is an ordered creation of a wise God. So what is best? If you want what is best, well, we find the answers in Proverbs. One concept of wisdom is about how best to find our way through the maze of this world. Bible Dictionary defines wisdom as being the art of being successful of forming the correct plan to gain desired results. The book of Proverbs has practical wisdom showing us what we can do to get on in a confusing world and how to avoid falling into disaster. Proverbs gives us a window on the world. It helps our understanding of how things work and how people behave. But what about our passage for tonight? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. It points us to God. It encourages us to trust him for life. And actually, there's a feel-good factor here, because what it's saying is that if we put God in his rightful place in our lives, if we live in his ways and follow his paths, it means that we will be safe, protected, and delivered, and feel good in God's presence and God's world. And one of the things that I'm seeing at the hospital is that actually that still happens even in the midst of the worst pain. We feel pain, not just the physical pain, pain of bereavement, the pain of sadness, sometimes the pain of growing old, recognizing the things that we can't do that we used to be able to do, recognizing our frailty. It's not God saying, if you follow me, you'll have a wonderful life. Things will not be perfect. But it's the promise that God says that we will be safe with him in the midst of the horrible stuff that happens. All will be well. Ultimately, all will be well. One of the words that you sometimes find in the Bible is that word shalom. That sense of well-being, not just being rich materially, but it also includes mental serenity and spiritual joy You see, if we know that we're right with God, then actually we can take on anything. If we know that we're right with God, when things go wrong, there's that song, isn't there? There will be pain in the offering. There'll be pain in the offering. Joy comes in the morning. The opposite of trusting in God, actually, is relying on yourself. If we don't trust in God, we rely on ourselves. And it says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The word lean, the Hebrew word for lean that's used there, it can refer to someone literally or metaphorically leaning on somebody else's arm or hand. You know, when people get old and frail, they need someone to help them walk. The area of hospital that I tend to spend most of my time is trauma and orthopaedic. So if you've had a leg operation or if you've broken bones, and there are lots of people that are trying to get out of bed for the first time, trying to walk a little bit, trying to move muscles because they've been in bed, they've been ill, they've had operations done. And when we first try and walk, when something's happened to us, we need something or somebody to lean on. How many people today are driven to strive, to achieve, to succeed? It brings stress, it brings illness. If we trust God with all our heart, it means we lean on Him. It means we're leaning on the one who is those omnis, who is everywhere, who knows everything, who was, who is, who always will be. And if we lean on Him, we allow Him to guide us. He has responsibility, not us. And there's a sense in which God works His purposes out for us. It doesn't all depend on us. He is the one who leads us, who guides us. And in his book on Proverbs, where it mentions God making paths straight in verse 6, Eric Lane says, a path is only a way to a destination. A path is only a way to a destination. If you're following Jesus, if I'm following Jesus, our destination is to be with him. Our destination is to be with him in heaven. How can God be known? Jesus, the experience, the wonder when we see God, the way that God speaks to us in the quiet. Proverbs written by Solomon for wisdom. Passage we've looked at, it points us to God. The feel-good factor of knowing that in God's presence we are safe, and that even when things go wrong, he holds us. Sometimes we give little wooden crosses to patients, and I've had people say to me how much that's meant to them. That when they're a time of pain, when things go wrong, when they're worried, to hold on to the cross of Jesus is something that's powerful. And it's the same for us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. We're going to listen to a song by Lou Fellingham. And in a lot of ways, it sums up really what we've been looking at tonight. It's called Everlasting Arms.